A very good, not so good morning to you guys. Today was a rough shame. Good morning to you beloved Eagle FM listeners. Welcome to Eagle FM. And, I would like to offer my sincere apologies, for, you know, the off that we have been experiencing. That is due to electricity outages, and we would just like to apologize for not countering that on time and finding alternatives to make sure you guys are able to hear us, you know, from the get-go. So it is 35 minutes past the hour of 9 o'clock, and you are in the company of me, of course, Hileni Inane, and you will be in my company up until 11 o'clock or way past 11, just to make sure we have this conversation and we are able to go on with this particular conversation. So do stay tuned, do not go anyway, and we will be having a good conversation right after this. Just give me a bit of... Okay. So, like I said, it's a beautiful Saturday morning, and we will be kickstarting our conversation in a very short while. So, do not go anywhere. Stay tuned for That Is Social Times with me, Hileni, and other programs to follow right after that. If you missed out on other things, we will obviously still have our app up and running. And you can tune in from the app. You can also use the app to listen to old programs and anything else that you may need to get yourself going with. So without further ado, let us get into our conversation of the day as prepared. A very good morning to you, Eagle FM listeners. Welcome to this Saturday edition of Social Time with me, Hileni Inane. And, you know, like we do it here every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., I will be with you for the next 2 hours or so. And, We are going to do what we always do here on Social Time. We come together and we discuss issues that are affecting our everyday lives, issues that are affecting the economy, issues that are affecting the country at large, issues that are affecting you and I, issues that are affecting your unborn children even. So we come here, or I come here to say, and I drive narratives, and we have honest conversations, we have honest discussions. We get industry leaders to come in and give us insight on what some of those conversations look like formally, what some of those conversations look like when they're experienced on a corporate level. So we come here and we have all those discussions that some of you are even afraid to have at your homes. Some of you are even afraid to have in your workspaces. And that is why we have a platform like Social Time to just discuss, dissect, and digest the realities of life on a lighter note, of course, and to engage you, the listeners, and those at home, and those that may need the help, because sometimes, just sometimes, there is someone sitting out there requiring this exact something that you're going to speak about today. There is someone out there that just needed to hear a conversation that happened here on Eagle FM, just to make their day, or to get themselves out of a situation, or to just get informed about something that they are not aware of. And that is why at Eagle FM, we pride ourselves in having conversations, that other people are afraid to have on a normal day. We come here and we have difficult, triggering conversations. And, yeah, that is why we are the number one talk radio station. Anywho, some of the products we offer here at Eagle FM is that of our live streaming services. We do offer live streaming services and live broadcasting services. So if you have your event happening somewhere, anywhere in the country at all, you could always give us a ring and we will be able to come and live broadcast your event. We will be able to give your event the coverage it requires to reach a bigger number of people, of course. So that is just some of the services that we offer. Alternatively, you can call us for all your marketing needs, because what is a brand without visibility? So you can call us and we can put you in contact with our marketing team, and I am sure they always have great deals for you. Deals that will, you know, leave you happy, leaves that will leave both parties happy, because you will be able to engage a bigger number of people. You will be able to reach a bigger audience, and your product will be known even beyond the borders of the country, as our radio is able to, you know, function in and around Namibia and of course outside of Africa. So that, those are just some of the benefits of advertising with us, because we make sure that you reach a bigger audience. And it also means that you just do not have to be a Namibian company to need to advertise with us, because everywhere in Africa, people are listening to Eagle FM. Abroad, people are able to listen to Eagle FM, which also means your product is getting out there. And maybe you are wondering, how are people in Nigeria listening to Eagle FM? And darling, that is why we have the Eagle FM app, which enables you to listen to all our programmings as they happen, which also enables you to listen to previous broadcasts. If you go on the app, they are under podcasts. So when a show happens like this, for example, we take them and we rework them and we upload them to our servers and we upload them, and you know, you are able to listen to them at a later stage after they have been uploaded. And you can always keep yourself informed if you missed an important conversation, if you missed something that is of importance to you. You can always, and I mean always, just revert back to the Eagle FM app, and you will be able to follow and tag along and listen and rewind and, you know, everything that has happened on Eagle FM. Another benefit is that we usually put up adverts on our apps. You know, there are those scrolling slides where you can also advertise your products, or we give this as add-ons to our clients. And then every time that people open the app, your product is there. Your product is there for you to actually see. And you also find vacancies on here. So you can literally go on the website, you find vacancies, or you go on our Eagle FM app, you find vacancies, you follow the link, and boom, there you have yourself a job. You never know. You never know where your fortune is coming from. So give it a try. Give it a try. You can also follow us on all our social media platform. That is at eaglefm.com. Yari darli khagvier. Anyways, our social media handle on all the social media platform is Eagle FM Namibia. And one of the benefits of following us on social media is you always know what is going to happen. You always know. You always have a clue of what is going to happen next. You know exactly what Helene is going to talk about on social time. You know exactly, what Michael Chiavelli is gonna come in and talk about. You know exactly what History Friends is gonna bring you on a Sunday morning. So you are able to schedule yourself according to some of the shows that you best enjoy, according to some of the shows that you really like, and therefore you are able to keep up and follow with our programming all the time. Lastly, you can subscribe to our e-villager paper, which comes out 3 times a week, which is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So to subscribe to our e-paper, the number is 081 241 44, 081-241-44, and we will be able to add you to our billing list. Môre is toch Sondag, nee? Môre is Sondag, and I know it's weekend, and some of you are doing things that the Lord forbid you from doing. My so right? So since tomorrow is Sunday, we are all going to occupy Ipundio Konima. Ons gaan sit mos daar achter, you know, back row. Please do download your Imba app. That way when you forget your hymn book at home, you have your digital hymn book right in the palm of your hands, and we can all sing along after Omeka Kaiwa starts the hymn books. You know, we can all run around and you don't have to keep, you know, pulling your neck so you look in the neighbor's hymn book or something because you have forgotten yours. So do download our Imba app and you will be able to, you know, experience all, most of the hymn books on the, be it Ehangano, be it Omaimburiro, be it the Afrikaans, Sing for Yara. You can always, download the app and everything will be easily accessible to you on there. But like we all know, I do not think social time is a social time unless we have been baptized by others. That's of course Billie Eilish with Ocean Eyes. And right after Billie Eilish, we are going to come back here and we are going to dive into our conversation. So if you are not ready for this particular conversation yet, please, you have about 2-3 minutes to grab your cup of tea, to grab your cup of coffee, or to grab whatever concoction you are using to cure your hangover, so that you listen attentively, so that we can all follow and engage in this upcoming conversation. So do stay tuned.
Been watching you for some time. Can't stop staring at those ocean eyes. Burning cities and napalm skies. 15 flares inside those ocean eyes. Your ocean.
Need lightning fast internet? Paratus has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Paratus' cutting-edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through our high-quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Paratus today. Visit us online at paratus.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Experience the best of freedom and flexibility with Flex. Paratus Flex bundles now offer you even more freedom of choice, so that you can enjoy quality internet on the go or at home. Choose between fiber with mobile LTE or Sky-Fi with mobile LTE packages, starting from as little as 650 Namibian dollars per month, excluding that. You get more for less with Flex. Visit paratus.africa/Namibia or our branches nationwide.
Slow internet should be a headache of the past, yet many Namibians have connections that just aren't fast. We have a solution that might set you free. It's called Mobile LTE, and it comes with real speed. You'll enjoy up to 50 megabytes per second from just 300 Namibian dollars a month and free internet browsing after midnight till 6. When it comes to staying connected, this is it. Visit paratus.africa/Namibia or our branches nationwide and experience the thrill of better internet with Paratus by your side. Always prepare,
Paratus. Welcome back from Billie Eilish and her Ocean Eyes. So, if you are joining us right now, you are right on time to join us for the insightful conversation that we are going to have today right here on Social Time. So, you know, steady yourself for the ride. So, on today's discussion, we are going to talk about constructive dismissal. I know some of you may know where that is. Some of you may not know where that is. So, constructive dismissal is when you're constructively being worked out of your employment. When, when you are being pushed at work and people are continuously treating you in a way that triggers you to want to resign, that triggers you to want to leave the workspace, but without them actually telling you to leave the workspace. So, this is when quitting your job is the only choice that you are actually left with at the end of the day. So have you ever felt like you're being pushed to the edge at work, like quitting was the only way out of it? And if yes is your answer, then you might have been a victim of constructive dismissal and you may not even be aware that you were or you are being constructively pushed or being shown the way out of your employment. So in this episode of Social Time today, we are going to expose the very silent ways in which people can constructively work you out of your workplace, they're not so quiet toxic workplaces that force employees to walk away, from neglect and unfair treatment to just hostile environments. So we are going to have a conversation about all of these, and some of you have experienced those things, so we are just going to make sure that what you have experienced, you are not hallucinating. It is what it is. And for that matter, these are conversations that we need to have, because what you are experiencing is wrong in one way or so many. And maybe you can handle the situation better. So constructive dismissal may be things such as you being constantly sidelined in your work. It could be things such as you being stripped of your, what is the correct word to use? I know I'm practically talking to myself. So of you being stripped off of key responsibilities, or of you being stripped off of your credit accreditations. Like, let's say you do something and instead of you receiving the credit that you did that particular thing, your supervisor or someone else is constantly taking that credit to say, I did this. You know, maybe you solved an issue at work and your supervisors, your colleagues or someone is always taking the credit for your work so that they could look like, and they are doing better than you are at your job. Otherwise, it could be a hostile in a work environment where showing up every day will eventually take a toll on your mental health. Because imagine coming to work on a daily basis, and every day you come to work, you dread going to work. You don't look forward to going to work. You are constantly not eager to go to work, carry out your job properly, and stuff like that, stuff that just makes you want to stay away from your employment, especially in such an economy where employment is difficult to go by, where there's a high unemployment rate. So this is why we come here and we have this conversation, because we cannot have more people leaving their jobs because something is happening at work, even though they do not know what exactly is happening at work. We cannot have work environments which are constantly working their employees out of the door, whether it's to personal reasons, whether it's to, you know, work conflict with fellow colleagues. Like, it's something that cannot exist in the current era. It's something that should not exist. So these are just some of the things that we are going to look at. We are going to speak to people who have gone through such circumstances in real life. We are going to speak to HR practitioners, people who have experience in dealing with this particular types of matters, so that we can understand the conversation better, so that you can understand the conversation better, so that you go away from here knowing that this is right, this is wrong, so that you as an employee can also know how to protect yourself against some of those things. Because many a times you are in your place of employment, you are going through something, yet you are unable to protect yourself against it, yet you are unable to resolve the issue because you do not know how to resolve that issue. Yet there are laws in this country. There are laws that protect you. There are laws that protect everyone who is in a place of employment. There are ways of how to go about protecting yourself as an employee, ways in which you can always try to find solutions instead of eventually just deciding to lose your job. Because here we advocate for bread and butter and the employment. You cannot say bread and butter without thinking about employment, because that is your bread. That is how you are looking after your family. That is where you are collecting your coins so that you can go back home and feed someone. So constructive dismissals come in a lot of colors, and some of those colors you may not be able to recognize instantly, and some of those colors you will be able to recognize instantly. For instance, it could be things such as you being demoted without a reason, your salary being cut without your consultation. Like, you just wake up and one day and your salary is in half and you do not even know how you got to that particular level. Or working under constant verbal abuse and intimidation. And verbal abuse and intimidation is one of those things that a lot of people don't look at as constructively dismissing someone. Because at the end of the day, they say, you are a soft generation. Yes, that is it. The Gen Zs, the new working force, the what. You are a soft generation. So when people verbally abuse you, they expect you to just take it lightly. But sometimes verbal words could be a way of constructively dismissing someone from their employment, because what words are you saying to this person? Is it vulgar language? What type of words are you saying to this person? So it's this type of things that, that could actually be happening daily to you, and you are not even aware that, this is constructive dismissal, and it also, it's against the labor laws. It's against the labor laws, and it should not ever have to lead you to a point where you want to leave your job for such a reason. So, originally, the term constructive dismissal comes from labor law and refers to situations where an employee resigns due to their employer's behavior. Could be direct employer. It could be the management or the manager in charge of that particular company. It could be fellow colleagues. But at the end of the day, it's when your, when behavior becomes so intolerable or unfair that is, that it essentially forces you as an employee to want to quit. It's called constructive because even though the resignation appears voluntary on the surface, the law constructs it as a dismissal due to employer's actions. So yes, someone will argue to say, but you resigned. Yes, you did resign, but under what terms did you resign? It's because something was constantly pushing you to resign. Something was constantly making you want to leave the workspace because it's not a safe space for you anymore. It's not a space where you can sit and do your job properly anymore because it takes a toll on your mental well-being. It takes a toll on your physical well-being. You are constantly exhausted, or now you are overworking yourself also just so that you can prove a point, so that you can prove that you are better. But sometimes you don't even have to prove that point because someone is deliberately making things difficult for you. Someone is deliberately making life hard for you. Someone is deliberately choosing to show you with their actions that they do not want you in a specific position, that they do not want you in a specific place, and therefore they continuously behave in a way that pushes you out of the door. You know, Nim, look at it like a relationship. Ek en my verhouding, examples mos. Look at it like a relationship. So you are in this relationship with someone, and constantly they don't communicate like they used to. Constantly, you know, like the communication that was there is dying. You used to see this person often. You don't see them anymore. You used to do things together. You don't do anything together anymore. They are constantly giving you lame excuses. They are constantly avoiding you, or they are not just giving you the effort that was there from day one, because it comes with change. You know, it goes from you are making jokes with your colleagues to everyone just being hostile against you. When you enter the office, it's not sir haseha. Sir sour faces like this, you don't even know what is going on anymore. So those are just some of the things that you need to be aware of when you ask yourself, am I constructively being dismissed from work? And also, we are going to look at ways on how to protect yourself. So if you find that you are a victim of this particular something, if you find that you are a victim of constructive dismissal, there are things you can actually do to protect yourself so well. And if you have ever experienced constructive dismissal, you know, your best advice would be to always speak up, to always consult HR, to always go to someone that can give you the best advice on the matter. And if perhaps you're just finding out right now, right this instant, that what you have been experiencing is destructive dismissal, then this is your cue to also just take better care of your mental health, take better care of yourself, and find necessary solutions. Find necessary solutions on how to go about resolving the issue without necessarily, you know, robbing yourself of your employment. Because guys, truth be told, if there is one thing that we cannot afford to be doing right now without a backup plan is living in employment. You cannot leave your employment without a backup plan. So unless if you have a solid plan, you cannot leave your employment under all the circumstances. So that is why I'm bringing this conversation to you, so that you can have a way out, so that you can learn and listen from an HR practitioner and know how to go about it and know where to go also. And know how to go about it so that, you know, your results are fruitful. You are going to listen to someone that, also experienced, this particular type of treatment and how they navigated it and how they overcame it as well. So that if you are going through something like this, or if you know someone that is going through something similar, you can always share with them this information. You can always, be there for them when they are going through this particular something, so that in the long run they do not lose themselves in the process. We are going for a musical break and we will be back with our first guest.
Okay, so welcome back to That Is Social Time with me, Hileni. And like I've established before, today we are having a conversation on, you know, constructive dismissals, which in a nutshell means, you know, being put in an unfavorable position, being put in a position where you have to leave your job because the circumstances are becoming too unbearable for you. Either it's taken an emotional toll on you, or you are not able to continue carrying out your job to the best of your ability because now everything is just destructive to you. So you are left with no other option. So in studio, I am joined by someone that is going to tell us about their story, someone that has gone through the ordeal themselves, someone that has lived and survived constructive dismissal. And they're just going to share with us a few of the things that you can look out for. What are the signs? When do you know it's happening? What can you do to protect yourself as an employee? And what can you do to make sure that if you continue to stay, should you continue to stay, you are going to stay in an environment that is going to allow you to thrive, to perform your duties. And, you know, such as a conversation of to say someone with experience, someone that has gone through it, experienced it and found ways to navigate it, so that if perhaps, you know, things happen in our everyday lives. And I always tell you guys, we come here and we have conversations that affect our everyday lives. And this is something you might be experiencing at work. This is something you might experience amongst your colleagues, you know. So what are the options out there when it finally comes knocking at your door? So a very good morning to you, and do welcome to Social Time. First of all, from your understanding, you know, just give our audience a bit of insight on what constructive dismissal is, what it could look like. Just a teeny bitty examples before I can go into the more personal questions.
Well, first of all, constructive dismissal is when you are basically forced by your either management or, let me say, your leadership, your subordinates even, in a way that they're forcing you to resign.
Yes.
Because they're constructively plotting for your resignation. And they basically make it unbearable for you to work. Mm-hmm. It's a plan, you know. Just like you come in to plan to work, they come in to plan to make your life a living hell at work. So, and it looks horrible. This thing can go as far that it actually weighs down on your mental health. You know, it can cause health issues.
Mm-hmm.
It causes disturbance in your daily life, you know, I mean, to the point where someone gets so bad that they want someone else to take the bread
mm-hmm.
from you, basically. And I don't understand how people sleep at night. But yeah, that's basically a high level of constructive dismissal.
Okay, great. Just in case someone is wondering, because obviously you would think, but resignation comes from you. You are the one that is putting in the resignation yourself. Quickly just differentiate for us why someone would want to put you in a corner where you have to resign yourself instead of them actually just finding the audacity to say, you know what, we are done with you here. Pack up your bags and leave. What is the difference, or what pushes to that extent where someone would want to constructively have you dismissed instead of just going, you know, the straight way to have you leave your job?
You know what? Basically, it is sometimes you do not have, let me say, sometimes the party or the offenders does not have enough to actually put you in a position to be fired or disciplinary or even a warning.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you are a threat to the position. You do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the reason why someone would force you in that position because they don't have enough evidence. Because at the end of the day, it's about evidence. They don't have enough evidence to get you fired. So, or they don't have perhaps the guts to fire you.
Mm-hmm.
It's various aspects. And I'm not an HR specialist, but coming from where I come from, they did not have the evidence to fire me. Mm-hmm. My work was on point. I was punctual. You know, there was no record of me offending any of the, my code of conduct was standard, you know. And that is where it comes to, now I'm going to put you in the corner. So that is where this comes from. So I can't fire you. I can't give you a warning. I can't give you a disciplinary. So what is there else for me to do?
Mm-hmm.
Let me make your life hell so that you can be by yourself, you know?
Mm. Okay, so without obviously giving away, you know, the company in question, can you take us through what led to your decision to leave your job and what this particular constructiveness looked like? Because at the end of the day, there are people who are experiencing it at their works, respectively, or in the environments they are existing. But sometimes you are not able to say, this is actually what I'm going through, because you don't know what it is. You have never experienced it before. So everything becomes a matter of you are learning, you are experiencing new things, because, you know, some people come to workplaces straight out of adversity. You've never had this type of environment before. You've never had this way, you know, where you are constantly living on edge and having to remind yourself that your colleagues are not your friends and stuff like that. And you're here to work and do a good job, because at any given time, everyone would obviously choose themselves. So at what given time, did you start to realize that this was happening? And why did you then make that bold decision to leave?
Well, first of all, I did not resign immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It was a fair few months that I experienced. I had to make a decision, because at the end of the day, you know, with our high employment rate, you keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
If I walk out of this door, what next? You know, I was young, and of course, I did consult a few people that I could maybe ask advice for mentorship and stuff like that, to ask, like, what do I do next? What would you advise me?
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Without actually consulting too much, you know, because, you know, at the end of the day, the company also puts you in a position where they say you can't share too much. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I try to not to resign immediately, But it gets to a point where I had to weigh my options.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to really see what is best for me. Was it, at the end of, I tried to see how much I can bear.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say, to be quite honest, I tried to see how much can I take. But also in the meantime, I tried to seek mental help, like in terms of see people, psychologists, maybe to give me advice how to navigate the situation, you know. But of course, it also can get to only a limit, you understand. There's only so much one person can take.
Yes.
As well as jobs are very few out there. Unemployment is bad. I mean, the unemployment rate is going up.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully with our new government, it's going to get better. But, I mean, in that time, it was really bad because it's been a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was very bad. And I had to try to see how I can resign and maybe find a job during that time. And it got to a point where I was trying to look for a job, but I couldn't find one.
Mm-hmm.
And I also couldn't bear staying on. And I wouldn't suggest anyone just do it.
Yeah.
Try to see, we all know our expenses. We all know what you're capable of.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to take a step because it was really, I lost a lot of weight. I started having my hair fall out, losing hair.
Mm-hmm.
I actually fell into depression. So I had to make a important decision. Am I going to stay on or am I going to let it go and see, basically taking the leap of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did. I took the leap of faith to say, you know what? I'm going to walk out of here. I'm going to hand in my resignation. And I'm going to take the next step. But only after I actually resigned and everything, I mean, a few months after that,
mm-hmm.
I spoke to an HR consultant and she actually said to me, you know what was that? That was constructive dismissal. And you could actually have reported them. I didn't know that,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think a lot of Namibians, young Namibians, even the older generations, we don't know what the Labour Act is about. And it's actually, it's accessible. It is on the web. You know, you can actually have access to it via the legal documents, I mean, on the website. And go and read on it, you know, because information is key. When you don't know, like, maybe if I knew, I could have handled it better.
Yes.
But now I didn't know what I was going through, what I was being put through, and I just thought the best way for me is just to resign.
But before you made the decision to resign, did you try to talk to the management at work? Did you try to resolve it internally before you went? Because obviously you started seeing the patterns and you started seeing that it wasn't something that was good for you, or you were seeing the change within your colleagues. You were seeing the behavioral change. So was there something you did back then that to say you reached out to HR, you reached out to your superiors to try and resolve the situation internally before eventually deciding to resign?
Yes. I first spoke to my immediate supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
And my immediate supervisor didn't really do anything about it. She's like, no, I just need to work harder. But it wasn't something about productivity.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? It was the way I was being treated. And I later on realized, you know, as someone, you pick up things in the office. Like they said, energy is something that can be felt.
Yes.
To the point where I would come in and they would actually have had a meeting already. The management with the employees.
Mm-hmm.
And I was asked, but was I not supposed to attend that meeting? And they were like, no, it's nothing concerning your department. And I'm like, I don't understand. Like, why am I left out? You know, why am I being excluded from these things?
Mm-hmm.
And when I actually approached our HR, because I wanted to understand, the HR basically told me that this thing is out of my hands. And that made me feel like completely lost. I mean, those were 8 questions of what thing? Like, what thing is out of your hands? And she's like, she's going to tell this to me off record, that she's just taking orders from management. But I thought HR, or to my understanding, HR is there for the company to advise the company how to navigate these things. I mean, to manage HR governance, as well as to advise the employees. I thought it was for both of us. But in this regard, HR was literally for management. Because, I mean, some employees, after I resigned, some employees were hesitant, afraid, I would say, to speak to me. And I would ask them, why don't you speak to me? Why don't we have conversations? And it's as if I've done something bad to resign. But I mean, wasn't this what you wanted? You wanted me to resign, but now you're treating me even worse after I resigned. To the point where my emails, and I'm not the first person to speak about it. I've had a lot of other people actually say this, that their emails, I wouldn't say hacked, but I would say that management had access to the emails. I'm not saying it's
duplicated them.
Yes. So basically, where I actually realized that this was happening was an email was sent to me. I mean, of course, work related, but my manager was not in the email, but she answered the email. Now, how would she know about the email if she wasn't in the email?
So somehow...
In my inbox, it wasn't unread anymore. It was read. And she replied to that email because now it was in my outbox. But I wasn't the one replying it. But it was as if she replied, as if I replied it. But I know, I could see it.
You know, between you and the reader and the sender, you knew it was...
You knew, I know it wasn't me. Something was going on. And what was even more strange, I confided in someone, and she's like, yo, I'm actually scared now. I fear, but what can I do? I'm just an employee as well.
I'm just like you.
I'm just like you. You know, they would ask me for reports on, like, can you give me the report now in the next 5 minutes? You know, report is something that you need to gather your information. But you know what? I always had backup on my reports. And I always had files that I filed in my reports. So they were trying to sabotage me. And I would have them ready in the next 5 minutes. Because I knew what was coming for me.
You were always a
You know, when you start, when things start moving and the atmosphere starts changing, that's the time that you should also make sure that your nose is clean, basically.
And you have your house in order.
Your house is in order. Nothing can be pointed at you. But I mean, why after I was placed in a position of resignation, why did you now act all of a sudden as if I was not the problem? I did something wrong because I resigned.
So that no one can take the blame.
So that they can feel like, we're treating you so well, but what, you're still leaving.
Yeah, it's actually creepy just listening to you.
And the worst part of it is, in my exit interview, you tell me, you HR and you manager, you know, basically telling me that if anytime you would want to come back, really?
Wait.
back where? Come back to who? Come back to hostile atmosphere again. And mind you, the headcount or the turnover is quite high. And I said to myself, those exec managers, you know what they say in life, what goes around comes around.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't wish anything bad on anyone. But if you're going to treat someone like that, be sure that it's going to come around.
Yeah, play. Who's the song by? What Comes Around Comes by Rihanna, I think.
Yeah. DJ, play What Comes Around.
Okay, so obviously, after you consulted HR, there should be something else you tried to do. Did you try to seek legal aid? Did you try to go to labor to just find out, you know, if you could get legal representation, if there was a way to work throughout this specific case and save yourself from all the, from all, everything that you had to go through?
Well, first of all, I tried the route of state legal,
mm-hmm.
you know, labor act, I mean, labor consultants,
mm-hmm.
which is our state. And first of all, coming in there, it felt like I'm actually disturbing them. And then second of all, they were like, yeah, this is a long process. And, you know, basically to the point where I've actually am discouraged now to actually pursue whatever advice I need to get from them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were not very willing and helpful. So I just left. I was like, I mean, if we already start at this, this is going to be a very lengthy process. By the time they come back to me, I'll have another job.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided, okay, let me go. I mean, private, but let me consult a lawyer.
Yes.
And it's also expensive. I mean, at the end of the day, it's expensive. So I consulted a lawyer. A lawyer told me straight up, we can do this. But the problem is, do you want your position back? Because when you get back, you're going to be victimized.
Yeah.
So what do you want from this? I told him, you know what? It doesn't make sense to go back. Because this time around, they might find something. They might sabotage even worse mm-hmm. than previously. So let me not get that. Let me not go that route of wanting to pursue my job back. And of course, he gave me advice how to do it. And I followed it and got my payout, left. And there is life after this. There is life after that.
Clearly.
Yeah. But when you say you had an option of getting your job back.
Yeah.
What does that entail to, because you are still at the job, so how are you going to get, because I, from my understanding is that you needed to have left before you, what my lawyer advised is if they fought it back,
mm-hmm.
then I could get my, because then they, you know, obviously with evidence and I had my evidence,
mm-hmm.
you should keep a record of those things, emails, you know, anything that you feel that really works on mentally,
mm-hmm.
sabotaging you, or, you know, emails, most likely it's emails, or even your witnesses,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I had my file or my email folder on my PC, or my folder on my PC as well. And he said, what we can do is we can fight it back. And that would be then as this constructive dismissal case,
mm-hmm.
basically. So that's what we could fight. And with the evidence that you present, we can fight them. But of course, legal is also expensive going that way. So
especially when it's continuous.
Exactly. So, and I had a good case. But what happened was, maybe because I was, and that's probably because I was younger,
mm-hmm.
and you're a little bit anxious and you're not sure whether you're doing the right thing. So I think my mindset right now would have fought it. My mindset back then just wanted to get this over and done. I just wanted to go away from this company.
Mm-hmm.
But I think sometimes we need to stand our ground. Because sometimes you're not standing your ground only for yourself. You're standing your ground for those coming after you. Because when they see that you actually took the stand,
mm-hmm.
they might not see do a thing, but then they would know that if she could have done it, I can also do it. So, yeah. So, what helped you recover or rebuild yourself and your working spirit after leaving that specific job? Basically, what I had to do is I had to seek help because mentally I was drained.
Mm-hmm.
I did go through depression, so I had to see a psychologist for some time. And it wasn't easy. I had to share out with therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also having my faith, you know, and also self-belief, you know, believing again in myself that it was a bad chapter. I don't have a bad life,
yeah.
You know, because when we get out of something like that, you feel as a failure. You feel like you failed yourself. But you need to really do an introspection and think, where did things really go wrong?
Mm.
I wasn't the problem. I don't know what I did because it was never really truly revealed to me what I did to aid to what was happening.
Or trigger that.
But later only, I realized that it was all about opposition and someone being threatened, feeling threatened.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, I told myself, you know what? I'm young. I can get back on track. It's a bad chapter, not a bad life. And I did a lot of motivational, you know, tapped into people going to functions with motivational, not concerts because those are expensive,
mm-hmm.
but try to see where I can get a support system from my friends, family, just to get back on track.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the one thing that really helped me is believing in myself. Yes.
From your experience with that particular company, and perhaps like other places you have been to or experiences you've had with, you know, we talk as people in society, we talk. So do you feel that the systems in place, especially the HR and our labor system support structures, worked in your favor or would work in someone's favor that is going through this particular thing? And or if they are failing, how are they failing the people? Because you mentioned at labor, they discouraged you already from pursuing this particular case. And from the interviews we do here, from the conversations we have here, it's not the first time I'm hearing people saying they try to pursue things at certain governmental offices or certain offices, and they are met with that same reluctance, not just in that one sector at all.
To be very honest, I don't think if we're talking about a nation level, mm-hmm. we are ready. I think HR is supposed to be there for the organization, but also there for the employee. You know, but I feel too many HR managers are puppets. And I'm sorry to say it, but I'm really going to be frank. Because if they are told, no, you're going to do it this way, they compromise themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And what do? They do it that way. Whether it feels right, whether it feels wrong. I mean, you cannot sit in a disciplinary hearing knowing all the facts. Because I think an HR should listen to both sides.
Yeah.
And if a company does not give an HR manager or an HR partner, whatever they are called, that ability or empowerment to act as a department on their own, then that also says a lot about the company.
Yeah, or as a mediator.
Yes. Because most of the time, whatever the employee says, does not fly. Whatever the management says, if that management says you did me wrong, you came late, and there's not strong enough evidence, the HR will believe the manager.
Mm-hmm.
So I think as a nation and as organizations, whether it's private or whether it's public, we still have a long way to go.
Okay, so coming towards the end of this conversation, I would like to know, how would you describe the overall experience of trying to resolve such an issue? Was it empowering, exhausting, frustrating, or was it, lesson learning for you to say, for next time's sake, definitely no better?
Well, basically, I do believe that with the years I've gained more experience, mm-hmm. and also I've tried to do more research on such things, just to protect myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I would urge, young people to get to know the Labor Act, learn what is right and what is wrong, what you are allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Information is power when it's used. So, yes, I would know what to do better next time.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very exhausting experience. But now, like they say, now that I know better, I can do better. And perhaps try to see. I think the problem also comes when we do not speak up.
Yeah.
Because that was also the problem, basically. I spoke, I only started speaking out when I couldn't take it anymore. Maybe if I spoke earlier, I could have also avoided things.
Mm-hmm.
Not much avoided, but I could have alerted them that I actually know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Or this is how I feel, what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, get more answers as to why is this particular manager trying to do this?
Mm-hmm.
You understand? But yeah, I think now that I've gained more understanding on the Labor Act and stuff like that, because it even helped me, it even forced me to start tapping into the Labor Act. Imagine.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm better prepared for it when it has to present itself in the future.
Awesome. Lastly, you spoke about a payout, which was your parting, what should I call it? Which was the terms you parted on with your employer. So
yes.
would you encourage others in similar situations to take similar steps, or would you advise a different approach now that you have gone through it and now that you know better and now that you have also studied the labor law better? So what advice would you give someone in a similar situation?
If let me say there is no other way out, mm-hmm. and you need to part ways.
Yes.
Definitely. I would advise this person, because remember, when you do seek legal advice or stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
first of all, make sure you have evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you compile, because you can't go on hearsay. You should have black and white your evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Then second of all, that's why it's good to, how can I say, record these things, even if you feel like you need to go to a trial, because I only found that out later, that I could have actually also used that in my legal case, that I've been seeking help because of this.
Mm-hmm.
All these things documenting. This is after you've actually seeked help or tried for mediation with your manager and tried to bring them, and it still doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Because, in the ideal world, we would want it to work, but it doesn't work always. But let me say, it gets to the point where nothing can be done.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you do get a good payout. Because, at least get compensated for what the trauma that you've been through.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, get your legal advice. I would say invest in a good lawyer, because that could really work. it would have worked for me.
Mm.
So I would advise someone else. I mean, going the state way would be a long and lengthy process. So I wouldn't advise going state.
By the time they come back.
By the time they come back, you probably either in the rehab or you've taken another way or...
Or you're in a different job already.
Or you're in a different job. So try to see, and that comes also with our emergency funds, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Have that one for the lawyer as well. That when things go sour, I know I can get a lawyer that can fight my case and get me well compensated. I might not get back to that job. And I mean, if your company is big, let me say it's a group, at least maybe you might be transferred.
Mm-hmm.
That would also work because sometimes they don't want to transfer you. But maybe that might work. Then you don't have to leave your job. But let me say, if it's a small company...
But at least
company,
you also don't have to deal with the same people.
Yes. If it's a small company, get well compensated.
Money, guys. Money is important. So if you're going to work away in that state of, you know, needing rehab and therapy and constantly popping pills for depression... The message here is get a good compensation, know the law, have your receipts. Receipts are very important. Document everything that is happening. Like, this is us giving you guys free, unsolicited advice. We come to you unprovoked, unasked, and we are bringing you advice because these are things that happen in your everyday lives. These are things that you're going through. These are conversations that you are having difficult times talking about because you are afraid your boss is going to hear about it and you're going to lose your job anyways. Or you are afraid if you speak up, you are still going to lose your job. So there are ways around it. All you have to do is know that you are not in the wrong and have the proof to support that you are not in the wrong. And legal services, very important. You cannot fight it on your own, clearly. So have the legal representation that is going to give you advice. And yeah, make sure you at least try to fight it before you just give up. Any last words from you? Anything you would love to leave the listeners with?
I think you said it all. Get yourself prepared for something because it can happen any day, you know? But furthermore, speak out. Yeah. That's what I'm going to leave with you.
Okay, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here on Social Time with me, Hileni. So, my lovely listeners, I know sometimes we trigger things that you're going through, and it's just right that we do. Sometimes we come here and we say things, and it's things you relate to, and that is exactly why we have this platform, to drive narratives, to drive conversations that trigger you, to drive conversations that make you question certain things in life, make you question certain things that happen to you. Or maybe you are the problem at work, and from the examples we have given you, you are able to tell that, but that is exactly what I'm doing to others. If you are that person, as a belief, change. And, you know, I always say this one thing. You all came to work to collect your coins. You all came to do a good job, collect your salary, go home, and feed your family. So let that be the agenda. You have no business making work a hellhole for other people. And with that said, ladies and gentlemen, I will meet you on the other side of this musical break. Do stay tuned for us.
Can't make a is coming. All else are castles built in the air.
Welcome to Social Time with me, Hileni. And like I've explained before, this platform today we are going to use to talk about things that that people experience in their everyday lives at jobs and so forth. And yeah, so tell us, who is Hans and what are you by profession?
Good morning, Ms. Hileni. Mm-hmm. I am Hans Nambinga, as you said. I am a human resource practitioner by profession.
Yeah.
And I'm currently a senior health program officer of the Ministry of Health
mm-hmm.
and Social Services. Basically, that's me.
Awesome. So, you know, the conversation we are having today is one that is targeted at your profession. And it also leaves us with a question of, is HR resourceful in helping some of the people going through this particular thing? Because we've had someone who is like, HR is for the employer and no one else, but we'll get into that later. So when you hear of the word constructive dismissal, how does it, what's your understanding of it, and how does it differ from a regular resignation or unfair dismissal?
Oh, thank you for the question.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, constructive dismissal is just a resignation situation.
Yes.
Or a dismissal as it termed in the Labor Act, where the employer create a condition, an unbearable condition,
mm-hmm.
or a hostile work environment where the employee cannot tolerate such an environment and will definitely opt just to resign.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, while this unfair dismissal, there is where an employer terminates the employee's employment
mm-hmm.
in an unfair manner or without following the right procedures that are stipulated in our Labor Act.
Yes.
And then the regular resignation This one is voluntary and is usually due either a person is just feeling the pressure from work, or there are certain colleagues giving certain energies that are not right for her or him, or somebody getting a better offer somewhere else, then they will opt to resign.
Yeah. That was quite the definition, because I'm sure everyone works away from here knowing exactly which is which and which one it is that they need to be on the lookout for. So when we speak about constructive dismissals, from an HR perspective, what are some of the most common signs that we need to look for, or like the Gen Zs call them, what are some of the red flags that an employee might be experiencing constructive dismissal?
All right. Sometimes let's look at from the private sector perspective, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, there is a little bit of a difference in the government setting and the private.
Yes.
Okay, luckily, I've been in a private for quite a few, maybe a year or two there.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the things that I can recall is some of the things such as sudden demotions, you know.
Yes.
All of a sudden you were given a certain position and then I've been told, no, you cannot do this because of ABCD. And these reasons are really not adding up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or you are just experiencing some open harassment, some so-called salary cuts or reductions. Or you are in your certain days off, you are being withheld and all that.
Yes.
You can also experience being excluded from meetings. You just see an email, an ongoing email. Everybody has received a certain email.
Yes.
About a certain meeting. Could it be work related? Could it be sport related? Or any opportunity coming up and you are just puzzled. Or how come everybody in my office received this and I'm not?
You are not in the know-how of what the company is experiencing.
Exactly. Yeah, in institutions where you cannot really cut somebody's salary, or where ordinary management or staff member cannot tamper with your salaries and other things, you will see things like staff members not communicating even verbally, you know,
mm-hmm.
or you find certain things related to spiritual, you know, the dark world. Yeah, you come in your office, you find certain things, you know, and you really wonder what is happening here.
traditional.
That's not good.
Let's not go to that route, because it's things we cannot really explain for everyone to understand well, and it will be a bit difficult to put into actual concept because some people don't believe in those. Before you have mentioned quite a number of examples of what constructive dismissal is all about. And before you, I had a guest and they spoke about how they were fairly dismissed from their previous jobs. And those are just some of the things that they had to go through to before they've decided. And eventually they resigned. And according to them, the Namibian labor system or labor law, when you legally go to the labor system in Namibia or the HR at that company, then the HR person told this particular person that they were just following directives. Is that how it's supposed to be? And on the other side, the labor law told them that, you know, they seemed uninterested in the case. In the grievances this person had. So in such a circumstance, what is HR's job in mediating this type of situations?
Okay. Initially, before a person is dismissed, ma'am,
mm-hmm.
there are certain procedures to be followed. You cannot just wake up and dismiss somebody unless this person, the Labor Act has made provision for code of conduct under which a staff member can be dismissed or can be warned. And endeavors must be done before you dismiss a staff member. You cannot dismiss me just because I'm incompetent or I use my time poorly or certain my English is running away from me, but there are certain aspects that we cannot just dismiss a staff member on the spot.
Yes, but in this case, when we speak of the constructive part of it, it puts you in a corner where it's going to look like you are living willingly. And this is where the conversation of HR comes in to say, where HR and the labor as one comes in to say, if you feel aggrieved at work and you want to quit your job because of the circumstances there, and you go to HR, are they not somehow supposed to be able to mediate the situation with your managers, with your colleagues, and so forth? That is why the question is mostly based on what is HR's job in mediating this particular type of situations where one person is going through being constructively walked out of the company.
Okay, let's quickly look at the definition before I answer that.
Mm-hmm.
Under the Namibian Labor Act, Act Number 11 of 2007,
mm-hmm.
they are defining the constructive dismissal as a recognized dismissal.
Okay.
It states that an employee terminates their contract because of the employer made continued employment interruption. It can be deemed as a dismissal.
Okay.
Then that one is being found under the Section 33 of the Labor Act, and it's being defined as unfair dismissal,
mm-hmm.
and includes a resignation under such.
Okay.
Now with the HR, in most cases, I believe that from experience, most of the HR staff members are weak. They hardly stand up for the aggrieved parties.
Yeah.
And for me, I feel like it's incompetence in most cases. But if you find a well informed human resource practitioner, as much as HR supposed to protect the employer's interest, it is also the duty of an HRP, HR practitioner or HR officer, whatever the title is,
mm-hmm.
who is responsible for dismissal, or we call it the industrial relations office,
mm-hmm.
to protect both the interest of the employees and the employer. In a sense that if there is something wrong from the employer's side of the story, it is good to put it in black and white and get all the detailed information to inform management or the employer, as they say, that yes, it is true that the staff member did A, B, C, D, E. But as per the Labor Act, we did not give this staff member an opportunity either to go study, or we did not send this person for training, or we did not send this person for wellness, or whatever the case might be.
Mm-hmm.
So in most cases, if you see somebody going as far as Labor Commission just to go air their or Office of the Ombudsman to go report unfair dismissal or they are going to report constructive dismissal situation. Because in most cases, the HR practitioners in such institutions are so incompetent, or they are just, you know, when you are working with management and you are looked down on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm sure 90% of Namibian institutions, HR divisions or directorates, they are looked down in so many cases. Even when people are talking in meetings that they initiate, they are the ones that had to humble themselves, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, in short, basically, HRPs can do much to rectify some of these things before they even go into media and all that.
Yeah, before you even resolve it with lawyers and the many other things that happened after that.
Exactly.
Okay, perfect. So now, I'd like to touch a bit on the employee rights and the employee recourses. So, if an employee feels like they are being cornered into a position where they are being constructively dismissed, what should their first step in that company be?
I usually advise colleagues as to say, you cannot have a case if you don't have the facts or evidence.
Mm-hmm.
So I always say, if you try something and it fails, make sure that your second trial, you document everything. Always document everything. If you are sending an email or if you are having an argument, put it in writing and you say, I asked for A on this date, but Ms. Inane denied me this. Because it's my right to go on leave. Let me say you are applying for leave.
Yes.
Make sure you make a copy of your leave. And if it's approved, you can still trace back even for your own good, you know?
Yes.
In most cases, we really don't care about this until you are in trouble or you find yourself in an unfavorable condition. It's when you want to launch your grievance or put in a query, but it's late. Even some of the evidences, you have lost them already.
Yes.
It's very important in this case where you feel your rights are being violated, especially when it comes to constructive dismissal, so that in case you want to open up a case of an unbearable work environment, which even the Labor Act says that it is the responsibility of the employer to make the working environment conducive for the employee.
Mm-hmm.
So document everything. Initially, just have everything on the record, such as emails or memos or circulars or incidents. Some things, if somebody breaks your stuff, you can even take a picture.
Yeah.
Your boss comes in your office, throw away your laptop, take a picture of that, and you record the date and all that. Have a colleague as a witness.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing is, raise a formal grievance. It just shows that you are attempting to resolve an issue internally. Let me say, if it's your immediate supervisor, you put it in writing and say, on this date, this time, this happened and I was not okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
How can we find an amicable solution towards ABCD? And if it cannot be dealt at an office level, then it's when you can seek legal or union advice before you even speak to the lawyers and, you know, trade union representatives, before you go as far as industrial relations office, you know, to go do these pre-investigations on the matters and so on.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Because some people unfortunately are not aware of this particular type of things. They are not aware that the situations they are experiencing actually have names. So I would like to know, for instance, someone has been constructively dismissed. Is there a time limit within which an employee must take action after leaving a job due to constructive dismissal?
Yes, As per the Labor Act, I'm not sure of the section, usually around section 86 of the Labor Act or 287, 88, somewhere there.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying that an employee must file their complaints with the Labor Commissioner within 12 months from the date that you were dismissed.
Okay.
Yeah, but within the institution, there is also, yeah, it depends on which institution you are working for. But mostly these codes of conduct, how you and a staff member are supposed to conduct themselves within the workplace, mm-hmm. are usually driven from the Labor Act.
Yes.
Act number 11 of 2007. That's where most of the, all institutions actually are making sure that they tailor these mini rules for their workplaces. It cannot be out of the context of the Labor Act.
So it has to fall within.
Yes. You see some, they will have, before a dismissal committee is formed, the staff member must have done ABCD within 7 days. They must respond to the allegations or to the, you know,
yes.
all these steps. Yeah.
From the employer's side, what responsibilities do employers have to prevent this type of situations from occurring in their workspaces?
I believe as per the Labor Act, the employers are tasked to promote transparency through their grievance procedures.
Mm-hmm.
And they must investigate the grievances promptly and impartially. Basically, here, no matter to whose side you are a bit affiliated.
Yes.
You know, as human beings, if I see it's my friend, Hileni being investigated, you know, sometimes I might feel like I'm affiliated with you. Let me take your side or favoring you, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, but it is the employer's responsibility. But in most cases, I also tell people that as much as we say the employer, some of these things, they only work well in a small institution where the employer can be an individual.
Yes.
But in big institutions, it's a bit hard because the people that are in these managerials or and tasked to do some of these functions, they are ordinary human beings, you know. They have feelings, and hence the culture of that institution, whether it comes to impartiality or transparency or training and ethics, they might fail a bit because if the culture is not there to do the right thing,
mm-hmm.
staff members will suffer at the hands of their employers because the employers are failing to do their responsibilities.
Of course. I would like to know, obviously with being put in a corner also comes with a lot of mental health issues. You are frustrated. You are unable to perform to the best of your ability. How does working in a toxic or hostile environment impact an employee's mental health and career progression? And what can HR implement to reduce the likelihood of staff feeling forced to quit in the process?
Okay. This one can actually lead to staff member feeling depression,
mm-hmm.
especially nowadays. You see, if you make a survey, even just in one or two or three institutions, you are likely to find that every one out of three staff members is likely to go through depression.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, we are already having our personal lives that are struggling with so much mental health. Now, given a toxic or an unbearable working environment can impact an employee so badly that you can reach the levels of burnout.
Yes.
You know, when you just feel like I can't take it anymore, or anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
It damages confidence. You see, this gentleman or this gentle lady used to walk in with heels and a nice hairstyle. All of a sudden, this person looks so weak and down, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And a person is lacking motivation. This is what damage some of this toxic work environment can give, and can also create a gap in employment.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And what was the last part of your question?
How HR can implement strategies, wellness strategies, to reduce the likelihood of the staff members feeling forced to quit their jobs?
Okay. From experience, from one institution where I used to work, I used to have a wellness week.
Okay.
That is one thing I implemented to make sure that people don't only know each other at the level of a professional work day, but also at some fun day. You know, people get together for small sports, and then we go for things like cancer screenings and awareness, and then we put in things like fitness centers. We invite all these sort of, you know, things that impact our physical health and mental health. Yeah, we also do some anonymous feedback loops where you just, you know, hear the feedbacks from the colleagues, but they don't necessarily need to give their identity.
Yes.
Yeah, we communicate a career development plan. This is one of the hardest activity, but very helpful with the staff members.
Mm-hmm.
Or employees, to say. And there is also something that I didn't experience it, but I see people nowadays doing employee assistance programs.
Mm-hmm.
Where they have a number of programs where especially staff members with depression and anxiety, they show up there, and then people guide them through and assist them either to request for transfers. You see, just to give that hope to the people, you know.
Yes, that there is better somewhere out there.
Yeah, and one thing that I also like that HRPs or HR, especially HR management, can do is have a one-on-one with staff members. You know, when you are, in most cases, when you are called by a manager, you feel like you are in trouble, you know?
Yeah.
Then you just find out that day the director is just calling you in and say, no, how are you doing? How is the office? And what can we do to help you, you know?
Yes.
What are your future plans and where can we come in, you know?
If,
so basically, those are some of the tips.
Yes, and I just have this awesome feeling that if that is what was happening everywhere all over the country, people would actually be happier to be at their jobs. Lastly, Hans, before we, you know, bid you farewell, what can employees do to protect themselves contractually when entering new roles to just reduce the risk of being constructively dismissed in the future?
Okay, in most cases, when we get these offers, we get too excited that all we look at is the numbers, you know, or the benefits.
Yes.
But what an employee can do to protect them is that it doesn't mean if you are given a contract today, you must give it back that day.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Contractually and legally, you have the right to be given a certain period of time to agree for you to have enough time to go read. Or if you even, nowadays, a lot of us, we have lawyers. You can go to your lawyer and, you know, he can take you through and see what are the legal implications of this contract.
Mm-hmm.
In case things are not working well for this institution, what can you legally survive and you cannot survive? So somebody, if I can advise somebody, is that when you receive a contract, you need to thoroughly or carefully read and negotiate your employment contract if there is an opportunity for you to negotiate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some institutions, you go there, then you see the housing benefit is this way, and your basic salary is this way, and so on and so on. But if there is a room for you to negotiate, you must negotiate while you have time.
Yes.
Also, other things you can make sure that there is you must request for a grievance policy or a code of conduct for that institution. What are the do's and the don'ts? Don't just receive an agreement and that's all.
Mm-hmm.
Other things, what you can do for you to make sure you cover yourself at all times. Record everything you are doing. Make copies, whether it's your job description, salary increment, performance review, and all these ratings and anything that involves matters that pertains to your likely being at that workplace.
Yeah.
Make sure you have good records of that. And I think finally, you can actually ask the HRP that is informing you or whoever is inviting you to take the offer. That's about the history of the institution's turnover rate or the conflict resolution practices, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just to know, because you don't know, you are never safe. Not especially in this generation where even the veterans now, they are also struggling with mental health issues. We have so much mental health in the workplace, and employers are always not the top executives.
Mm-hmm.
This can be caused by the supervisors that are supervising us.
Yes, definitely. Thank you so much for taking time out to have this conversation with us. So in a minute, any last words that you would like to leave the listeners with from this insightful conversation that we just had?
Yes. The only advice I can leave to the listeners, or at least let me say to the Namibians, especially the young generation, you know,
mm-hmm.
mental health is priority number one. Before we run for these offers, before we run for the wealth, the cars, the everything,
because
you can lose money, you can lose jobs, you can lose things, but if you lose your mental health, you will be a miserable employee, and you will find yourself being in one of these. It's either you are the one causing your employer these constructive dismissals,
mm-hmm.
or you find yourself in unfair dismissals. Sometimes you won't even see it that you are you are unfairly dismissed because you are not in the right mental state, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So let's just take care of our mental health, and yeah, I wish all the employees and the job seeker all the best.
Thank you so much. Have a lovely Saturday.
Thank you, ma'am.
Mukungulele kwa tuko maikuto amina apiri kwa mavchaziva. Muvere kusema app atolo kasi nchavu kamso. Zakare liferire. Mise kunani zencha. Kuzwa kwa kushimba lifera zari vuka kuya kwa lifasi la lifera fama kepe. Muvone maikuto amancha a imba app. Mwikutwe kulimusi emba santo yengu yetuna. Mwikole sifera fama kepe marizo hola mina. Hamuvone imba encha ni encha farizwe ikopo nye mifuta ya lifera matasa app ilingi. kukopanya naha ni kuhasa nyali nzwira mlimo zengwi zefumani hamasfera sesfa app ya imba ze tatama elsin ehangano oshiherero omaemuriro catholic simane kakarunga africans ni zengwi zengata Mululi zeze kacheno, haiva mtavira kulisfera sa kereke ya mina, si ekezwe fa mkoloko walifera za imba, fa 081-2358-063, kapa mulumere imele kwa digital@omalighty.com. Muzive ni kufumana imba kacheno, mkona kufumana fa App Store ni Google Play Store.
Welcome back, and there you have heard it from Hans Nombinga, our HR practitioner from the health ministry, and the advice that he had to give in there, you know, to say always protect yourself, always protect your mental health, and sometimes, and I quote sometimes, you need to protect your mental health before just going in it for the finances, because at the end of the day, you are all you have, and your mental health will take a very long time to recover. So protect your mental health, protect yourself as an employee, read your contracts thoroughly. Read your contracts thoroughly when you get them so that you know what you're signing up for. You know, you don't have to instantly sign a contract on the spot. Yes, desperation for the job could make you do that, but request for time so that you can go through your contract, so that you can revise your contract, so that you can also try to legally understand your contract, because there is a lot of, that is the mistake a lot of new employees are making when they get into their employments. That is the mistake a lot of young people are making when they get good paying opportunities. That is the mistake a lot of people are actually just making when it comes to employment. They do not thoroughly revise their contracts. They do not know what they are signing up for. They do not read to understand their signing. Their signings, you look at the figures and you are like, I could buy a Merc from this, and suddenly you are over the moon and you have forgotten that there are other aspects of life that you need to consider, that there are other aspects of your well-being that you need to consider before you actually sign up for that job. So do revision, do research on the company if you have to. If you have to, do research on the company. Find out if they have prior constructive dismissal cases. If yes, find out why it happened, how it happened. You know, just try to dig up as many bones as possible so that you know exactly what you are working into. And just to end off this conversation, just to end off the topic of today, is just to say, if you're in an employment that is making you feel like you're suffocating, if you're in an employment that is wearing you out, that is burning you out, then maybe it is time to relook your environment and also ask yourself, why do I feel worn out all the time? Why are you tired all the time? What is causing your tiredness? What is causing your mental breakdowns? What is causing your inability to properly be effective at work? What is causing your inability to perform at your, you know, at your best? What is causing your inability to give it your 100%? Because it could be things such as becoming more demotivated. What is causing you to become demotivated? Because if you're in a job, you are in a job because you want to be there. You are in a job because you like it there. So when you start to question whether you should go to work or not, when you start to want to stay away from your work environment all the day, when you start to avoid your colleagues, when you start to not want to engage with anyone at work, and then it means somewhere, somehow, there's a problem breeding. And a problem breeding needs to be resolved as soon as possible. So consult with relevant bodies, consult with your managers, consult with your supervisors, consult with your HR, and consult with whoever it is that needs to take up your grievances. Consult with the people that, you know, can hear you out and give you advice. And if not, then you can, you know, go on and go to the labor law. But I would not advise that, like the other guest said.
You would rather go for private legal aid. That way you get your case solved very fast. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I love and leave you on this beautiful Saturday. Do have yourselves a beautiful day and do stay tuned for Tate Mike Oshavelli. And that is Mind Matters coming up next, right after this. Toodles!